Please join me in prayer as we get ready to get into the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, we thank you so much for the wondrous gift of your Son. Yes. Thank you for the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, and we just pray in this time, God, continue that work in us, strengthen us in your presence. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, meet us where we are. For the glory of Jesus, supply what we need today. Care for us today, Lord. Strengthen our faith. Convict us of our sin. Heal our hurting hearts. Bring peace to troubled minds, God. Refresh us by your wondrous power. Help us to feel your presence and the warmth of your presence today, Father. Help us to see Jesus in the Word of God and rejoice in that. God, I pray that you would fill each life here this morning, Lord. You are so worthy of our attention and devotion and praise, God. I pray captivate our hearts and minds. God, I pray you'd bring calmness where there's any turmoil. Bring peace where there's any chaos. God, bring love where there's any shame or condemnation today. Help us to receive the acceptance that Jesus paid such a high price for. It's in his name we ask it. Amen. So we haven't been talking too much about it yet, but we have the Halloween outreach coming up here in a couple of weeks. It's been a great, great thing that we've done since our first year here. When we were just here a month or two, that first year, we had our Halloween outreach. Every year it's grown. I trust God to do great unseen things. So I believe I have no clue the wondrous things that he's done through that. But through his people, I mean, we've shared the joy of Jesus and the love of Jesus. We've shared the Word of God and gospel tracts and had a lot of fun doing it. I haven't asked Brad yet. Are we doing the pie walk? Are you going to? I hope so. Last year we had the, I thought it was one of the, such a cool, happy thing. Like, kids were so excited. We had like 75 little miniature pies, like kid-sized pies, and we had a pie walk, and the kids got to win pies. That was so fun. We gave out New Testaments and just a great time. We trust, you know, God's committed to his word. He says that when his word goes out, it's going to accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. So we just trust as we handed out New Testaments. This year, the Gideons are partnering with us. They're going to bring a couple hundred New Testaments. But I have mixed feelings about Halloween. You know, I don't know about you guys. It is a time where there's a lot of elevated awareness about spiritual things for positive and negative. You know, the supernatural, which is real. You know, we live in this physical world, but there is the unseen world as well. And unfortunately, some of Halloween is probably not very good, but God is a supernatural God. You know, the Word of God says that he is spirit, you know, and those who worship him in spirit and truth. And over the years, you know, I hear people who know Christ talk about spiritual things a lot. I hear people who don't know Christ talk about spiritual things. I've known people who look to spirit guides and angels. You know, as Christians, we look to the Holy Spirit, not just any spirit. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit, because we don't need to hear from other spirits, right? We need to hear from the Spirit who is holy, who indwells us and helps us to know Christ better. But this is a time where people are really, maybe you're a little hyper aware of spiritual things and supernatural things. And we're going to see today from the book of Acts, if you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And in the Christian life, I think it's a very good thing to acknowledge our dependence upon God. It's a good thing in prayer that we come to the Lord and we acknowledge that he is sufficient, that he is wise, that he cares for us, and to submit ourselves to God's guidance, to his commands, that he would lead us and that his Spirit would prompt us in some ways. But sometimes with our needs, we can kind of trivialize why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think, you know, well, should I save $40 a month on my insurance with Geico? When we think, you know, I need the Holy Spirit to guide, and it's okay. You know, I mean, God, he wants us to seek it for everything, right? for little things and big things. And but we need to understand that one of the main, when God commits to guiding his people, it has to do always with Jesus. You know, it's that Jesus would be known and elevated, that the gospel would go out, that people would be reached with the gospel message. It's all about Jesus when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And so it's about the good news. It's about the Great Commission. And we're going to see that today in this passage we're going to look at. We're going to look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And talk about the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I do want to back up a little bit, and I'm just going to skim over this. So please, as Ben said earlier, dig into the Word of God for yourself. You need to see for yourself. So, but we're going to back up just a little bit for context. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles are appointing, they're confirming the first deacons for the church, these seven men. They're in verses 5 and 6. There's this proposal of this appointing of deacons to lead in some of the work that needs done. And the Word of God says, this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, and then it names five others here, a convert from Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, and the apostles laid hands on them. This is a way of confirming them and dedicating them for service and acknowledging these are men of God. These are God's people. In those days, we're going to see here in Acts that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're sharing the good news. That's just normal Christian life, that when you've got this wondrous story about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, that the Son of God gave his life on that cross to save us from our sins and to make us new, that we would have life in his name. When you've got that story and you understand that that is real and you've experienced the saving power of that, you cannot keep it to yourself. You cannot. And the church understood that. That people have got to know, and that story, that joy of victory in Jesus Christ wells up in us, and you have to tell people. Larry Norman was a singer-songwriter back in the day. In the 60s and 70s, a Christian singer, and he used to, one of his songs, he said, when you know a beautiful story, you don't let it go unsaid. You tell it to your children as you tuck them into bed. When you know a wonderful secret, you tell it to your friends. And then he goes on to say that it's a sweet story of salvation. We share it with our family, we share it with our friends, we share it with everybody. So let's look here in chapter 6, Acts chapter 6. Verse 8 tells us, now Stephen, he's one of those deacons, Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. So Stephen is proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Messiah there around Jerusalem, and opposition rises against him. There's people making accusations about him. In verse 12, if you'd skip down to verse 12, it says, so they stirred up people and the elders and the teachers of the law, they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. And again, we're just going to skim over this. Chapter 7 records Stephen's message. It is an awesome sermon. Go back and check it out later. But he gives this great message about the glory of God. Kind of bookends here. Part of it is kind of hard. He's telling a convicting message to the Jewish people. But he begins this message in chapter 7 talking about the God of glory. And then he finishes with the glory of God in his sermon there. And the word says that as he's preaching, there's a radiance about him. There's a glory of God resting upon him as he's sharing this message. Why this focus on the glory of God? Well, Israel, they're the people of God. They're the people of God. In Romans chapter 9, in verses 4 and 5, it tells us the people of Israel, it says, theirs is the adoption, Paul wrote. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory. They're the only people, part of their inheritance as a people because they're chosen is the glory of God. And so they're being reminded in this message from Stephen about the glory of God. Theirs is the adoption of sonship, the glory of God, the covenants, the receiving of the law, temple worship, the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. But then Stephen has to share a really hard truth that they'd rejected. God's deliverers time and time again. They'd rejected Moses and his message, and they had rejected Jesus and his message. And because of that, the glory of God had departed from the tabernacle, and then it departed from the temple, and then they saw to it that it departed from them in Jesus Christ when they crucified him. They resisted the truth. They resisted salvation. Stephen was a good and godly man, filled with the Spirit, in religious people who refused to be humbled by his message, killed him. They stoned him to death. And that leads us into chapter 8 today. Here in Acts 8, verse 1, it tells us that Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, Saul approved of their killing him. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. We move on down there to verse 12. It tells us, when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There's a good bit here about a man named Simon the sorcerer that we're not going to talk about today. It's just, you need to read it. But if you have questions about that, just let me know, and I'm happy to speak to that. There's also some mention here of the apostles laying hands on people. They're receiving the Holy Spirit, which is unusual. It has to do with the church being united between the Jews and those who were not Jews. It's a unique situation in the church. It's not normative. Sometimes we read things like this, and part of the reason they're confusing to us is that some Bible passages are descriptive. It's describing what happened, but it's not saying this is normal Christian life for the rest of your life, for the church. Sometimes it's descriptive, but sometimes it's prescriptive, where it is something that God wants us to continue. But anyway, if you have questions about that later, you can ask me, and I'll explain that to you further. But verse 25 says, after they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John, they'd come up from Jerusalem to see what was happening. There's this revival going on, all this multitude of people coming to Jesus. They had come there. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Philip's been there in Samaria. He's been preaching. There are crowds of people receiving Jesus Christ and rejoicing. It's amazing what God's Spirit is doing there. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. First of all, notice the command. It is God giving the command this morning. It is God giving the command. This reference here to the angel of the Lord makes it clear that this is not just an idea that Philip had, like maybe I should go to this region, or somebody else said, hey, I've got a word for you. He received from God a command, and he was obedient to that command. So why did the Lord say, look at the text there this morning. Look in the word. Why did the Lord tell Philip that he was sending him to the desert? He didn't. The Lord didn't tell him why. He didn't say why. He simply said, go. And Philip went. And I would encourage you this morning, there are times in my life where one of the main questions I hear from people is, Pastor, what's the will of God for me? I've got this opportunity to move. I've got this opportunity to go to school. I've got this person that I'm interested in dating. What's the will of God for me? And I want to tell you that wherever you are in life, I can tell you the will of God for you. Trust and obey. Yeah. Trust and obey. Obey God. Obey what he has told you. Obey the word. Read the word of God and what he tells you, who he tells you to be, and what he tells you to do. You do that day in and day out. And it's a step at a time. It's a daily thing. Obedience is a daily thing. So the Lord tells him, he just says, I want you to go to the desert, and once you do that, I'll lead you. Then I'll show you the next step. To me, that's encouraging. I know some of us, that's frustrating, right? Like, no, I want to know. I want to understand. I want to know why God's telling me to do this or to do that. The Christian life is an adventure, folks. It's a wonderful adventure because our God is faithful and he's good and he's powerful and he knows what he's doing. And if he tells you to do something, he's got a good plan. The Bible says that his will is good and pleasing and perfect. So when he says to do whatever, we just say, yes, Lord. I found that that's the greatest answer I can ever, you know, ever give back to God. When he tells me to do something, is just yes. Let's do that. No matter what my plan was, let's go with God's plan. Let's do what he says. Let's obey. And notice that the command, logically, it really doesn't make any sense. When you look at it, look at the situation where Philip was. Philip is in a place where ministry is thriving. Can you imagine if we set up a tent out here in the grassy area and we started just having a gospel meeting out there and multitudes of people from the neighborhood were coming to Christ and we got a heated baptistry out there and we're just, you know, and people are just, you know, God's saving marriages and people are recommitting to Jesus. And can you imagine this revival just busting out here in Indian Heights? And the Lord says, now you leave. Yeah. Yeah. You were like, well, that doesn't make no sense. God doesn't ask you to understand it. He just said, go. I've got a plan. Just go. And so Philip, he's obedient. He goes. Verse 27, he started out and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury. Some of your translations say Candace or Kandaki, depending on the translation. It means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he's sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Notice the contact here. Notice this contact between these two men that any other way, other than God bringing it together, this would never happen. God is the one prompting the meeting. God is the one who has orchestrated all of this. So there's this man, this Ethiopian man who, he's a God-fearer. He's not a Jew, but he's a proselyte. He acknowledges the living God. He's come to Jerusalem to worship, maybe to know God more. He's reading Isaiah. He wants to know God. And reading this, it just encourages me so much that I believe that if you want to know God, he's going to do whatever it takes. He's going to send somebody to you with the gospel, whether it's a family member or a coworker or somebody. And I believe our God is so good that on Judgment Day, nobody is going to get to say, God, I really wanted to know you, but I just didn't know how. God, I was searching for you with all my heart. I really wanted to know you, but you were just silent. I don't think anybody's going to get to say that. Because I think that if anybody really wants to know the Lord, he's going to send a Philip to them. He's a good God. It does not delight him that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He will send a Philip. The word says this Ethiopian eunuch, he's an important official. He's a man of authority. He's a treasurer. Gone to Jerusalem to worship Jehovah. Coming back. Says he's on his way home. Reading the book of Isaiah here. And the Holy Spirit is leading Philip. But notice that the reason that the Holy Spirit can lead Philip in this way is that Philip had been given the word of God from a messenger, an angel, and he had already obeyed. If he had not obeyed the word from God, he would have never been in that position to hear the Holy Spirit tell him to run up to this man. And notice Philip ran. When he heard from God, he ran. I love that phrase. You know, there's times where God tells us to do something. We don't understand it. We don't necessarily like it. And we kind of grudgingly grumble and we're like, okay, God, I hate the desert. My friends are enjoying this revival thing that you're doing here. I'll go, but I really don't want to. But if I have to go, I'll go, and hopefully it'll turn out okay. The word says that Philip ran. He's enthusiastic to obey God. That is a wonderful way to obey. Not grudgingly obey, but enthusiastically obey. Joyfully obey when God tells you to do something. He is full of enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm in the Greek, it's from entheos. It means full of God. To be enthusiastic means to be full of God. This man, Philip, he is enthusiastic. He is running. He is joyful. He is full of God. The Holy Spirit has a hold of this man. And he runs. He runs to do what God told him to do. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? Yeah. Again, if God hadn't orchestrated that, I would think that's fighting words. That's offensive. You know, this man is practically royalty, right? I mean, he's in his chariot. He's got servants. He's got his entourage with him. He is a man who is respected. He is wealthy. He is educated. And here comes this dust-covered yahoo named Philip that he doesn't know from anybody running up and saying, hey, do you understand? I mean, you know, I'm thinking if I'm this eunuch, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
But God has set this up. God has orchestrated this whole thing for a purpose. I want to pause for a moment here and just acknowledge the love of God. God loves all people. God loves all people, no matter what nationality, ethnicity, language, no matter what their flavor of immorality. He hates sin. He hates all sin, but he loves all people. Billy Graham used to say Jesus belongs to the whole world, not just Americans. He belongs to the whole world. Philip knew that. Philip knew the gospel. He knew that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever, no matter who that is, anybody who would trust in Jesus Christ, that would turn from sin and turn in faith to Jesus would be saved. No matter what their skin color, no matter what their language, no matter what. So Philip had no reservations of running up to this man who wasn't a Jew. Jews back then, they had some issues until they came to Christ and were changed, until their hearts were changed. But with Samaritans and with people that were kind of different. But Philip was so full of the grace of God and the love of God, and he just ran with joy to share Jesus with this man. The man said, how can I understand? Unless somebody explains it to me. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. This is from Isaiah 53. Speaking of Jesus. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, he said, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus.
Yeah,
woo!
Yeah.
Notice the conversation. If you want the Holy Spirit to guide you, I do. Anybody else want the Holy Spirit to guide you today?
Yeah.
Ask him for this. Ask him for this. Lord, I'm going to have conversations with people today. I'm going to have conversations with family. I'm going to have conversations with my kids. I'm going to have conversations with the coworkers, with the neighbors. I'm going to have conversations today. Help me take it to Jesus. Whatever the conversation is, he can do it. He's God. He can do it, and he wants to do it. He wants us to tell people about Jesus. It's a great principle for preachers too, that wherever you are, Spurgeon used to say, listen, whatever passage you preach in Scripture, you better end up at Jesus. You know, you take him to the cross, always. I think for all believers, that's a good thing to ask God to help us to do. Lord, sometimes, I mean, I want to be a good listener. Part of the way we communicate love to people is listening to them. But at the same time, I'm praying without ceasing, and I'm asking God as I'm talking to somebody, Lord, give me a bridge. Let's take this to Jesus. I know there's a way. You can do it. Help me. And he will. As this Ethiopian man was reading Isaiah, it's really understandable. That's some joy. I love that. It's understandable that he was confused, because until Jesus came, the Jewish people, when they read that passage in Isaiah, you know what they thought it was about? The Messiah. They thought it was about the Messiah. But when some accepted Jesus, but those who rejected Jesus, once Jesus came and the disciples are saying, that's talking about Jesus, the rabbis kind of changed their story and they're like, oh no, that's about the prophet. That's about Isaiah. Or that's about Israel. It's about the nation. And they kind of switched who it is about, because they didn't want to acknowledge, no, that is about the Messiah, and the Messiah is Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. So it's understandable that this eunuch he's confused. He's like, I don't know who this is about. But Philip provides a witness for Jesus Christ there in verse 35. And I love that Philip kept the main thing the main thing. He didn't say, you need to come to my church. I love it when people invite people to hang out with God's people. That's a good thing, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. He didn't talk to him about baptism. He didn't talk to him about things in his life. He just said, let me just tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the one that this is talking about. Let me tell you about the one who sacrificed himself willingly on a cross for your sin. Let me tell you about him. He kept the main thing the main thing. And from what we know, this man believed the gospel and he trusted in Jesus Christ. Verse 36 tells us, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Woo! Some of your translations, in the Greek text, some of them have verse 37, some of them don't. So your English translations, it just depends on which Greek text they looked at. But I'm going to share verse 37. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Amen. Amen. I've never been taken away right after a baptism, but God's sovereign. I think that'd be pretty awesome. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Notice the consequences. Notice the consequences of listening to the Holy Spirit, letting him prompt you and obeying that prompting. The first consequence is this eunuch found what he was looking for. He was looking for a relationship with God, and he found it in Jesus Christ, which is the only way to the Father. By trusting in Jesus Christ, The second consequence is, as this man trusted in Jesus and was born again, he is filled with joy. Part of the Christian life. Christians have reason to be the most joyful people in the world. Doesn't mean we're always happy. Sometimes circumstances are tough, and God wants us to be honest about that. But there's a joy that's greater than grief and greater than sorrow. God's word tells us this man was full of joy. He was rejoicing. After that baptism, the word says that the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. This catching away, it's the same thing, same phrase in 1 Thessalonians for the church being taken away, the rapture. So this is supernatural. Azotus is about 20 miles away from where they were, so he's just instantly 20 miles down the road, sharing the gospel. He ends up in Caesarea, which we know from history, he stayed there. He had a family there. His family were all believers. They were all used powerfully of God in that area. Many people came to Jesus Christ through him and his family. God is intentional. Every week, one of my prayers for this time, and I've probably said it too many times, God, bring who you want to bring. You orchestrate those connections. You bring who you want to bring. Somebody needs to be somewhere else, that's okay. God, you're sovereign. You orchestrate that. And I just ask him to and invite that. And I believe that. I believe that every person who sets foot through that door and comes here, it's because God has drawn them here for a reason. Kind of like that eunuch. He went to Jerusalem. He went there seeking something. He went there seeking a closeness with God, a knowledge of God, and maybe that's you today. You know, maybe that's why God brought you here. You said, hey, I want to go and hang out with God's people. I want to go and have guidance from the Lord. I want to go and I'm just seeking to know him more. Maybe you came here for the same reason that eunuch went to Jerusalem. But he left from there wrestling with the Word of God. He left from there, he's reading the scroll of Isaiah, and he's like, I've still got questions. It's like, I've been to church, I've been to Jerusalem, but I'm unsettled. I want something. I know there's something more. And I want that. And he's struggling, he's reading the Word of God, and he ends up putting his faith in Jesus Christ, and he leaves rejoicing. That can be your story today. You know, maybe you came here today and you're like, God, there's just this peace that I long for. Your word says that I should have, and there's something unsettled, God, in my thinking or in my heart. God, I'm seeking something from you, and I don't even know what it is. And maybe that's you today, and maybe you've just been struggling for a long time with that. And I just want to encourage you that as you trust in the Lord, he'll meet you right where you are. You know, and this is a daily thing, this is not a Sunday thing. No. It's a daily thing. If you humble yourself before God and just say, God, I need you. You are so good, you are so faithful, and you provide everything I need in your presence in my life. But God, I just lay hold of me. I'm prone to wander. We sang that earlier, right? God, I am prone to just walk in stupid directions and make, but God, I just, one step, would you just give me one step with you today, God, so I can rejoice? Now, I don't know what that one step is for you, you know, wherever you are in your walk with Jesus. But I believe he's got a next step for you today. A next step of faith, a next step of obedience, and a next step of him being glorified in your life. And I believe he has that for you. I think he's got that for me. So please join me in prayer. Let's pray for that now. And we'll continue to worship him this morning. Lord Jesus, you are awesome. And there is no one like you, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We thank you that you are the sacrificial lamb to pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future, and to not only die for those sins, but that that sin nature would be crucified with you on that cross, that we can receive your Holy Spirit and learn to walk in freedom and in joy and in power and in truth and in holiness and righteousness. But God, we know that you give that grace to the humble. You oppose the proud because they need to be opposed for their sake, because you love the proud. But they need to be broken so that they can humbly receive what you've got. Lord, I pray. Father, we pray for anyone here today, Almighty God, that if they came here seeking you today, that they would find you in this moment. Whatever struggle that somebody has brought here today, Lord, I pray that you would give them the faith to receive of you, that when they leave, they can leave rejoicing. Lord, you are so much more awesome than we know. Even as you lead us in paths that are unexpected, God, help us to just joyfully walk that path anyway because you're with us. Be glorified in our lives, Lord Jesus, at our expense, for the sake of the gospel and for your joy, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can you please stand?
Sing this song of gladness, give my praise to the fountain of delights, for in my helplessness you heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down on my and you the praise is never share one song, and cries of worthy will honor the land. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you
So here in a moment, we'll have the blessing. Dale's going to close us with that in just a minute. But I want to encourage you today to really ask the Lord what that next step is for you.
Yeah.
That he's got for you today. And if you want to talk with me about that, I mean, I'm here today, but I've got office hours that may be accurate that are in the bulletin. So you're welcome to come by and hang out. But if you're wondering, you're like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know, you know, we're called to share the gospel, so that's a real high probability that the next step is for you to share the gospel with somebody. But we've also got some next steps on a board back here. You can check that out and maybe start praying about those things. I know there's a couple young men here who said, God's told us our next step. We want to be baptized. So, yeah, praise God. And they have trusted in Jesus Christ and know him as Savior and want to take that next step to let the world know. So that's
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. How good to trust the Lord and obey him in that. So that's coming up. But I want to just encourage you. That's for all of us. You know, God has a next step for you. And if I can pray with you about that, happy to do that today. So I'll turn it over to Brother Dale.